Okay, today's daf is Shabbat Daf Tzadivav. We are at the top of Tzadivav Amid Aleph, right before the end of the parak. Amar Rav Asi Kli Cheres Shiuro Bekones Mashka. Velo Amru Motzi Mashka El Inyan Gistra Bilfat. So the Shiur, the minimum Shiur that's going to render a Kli Cheres, an earthenware vessel, tahor in any aspect, is a hole the size that would let water in, or let liquid in, and they only said that a hole that lets liquid out is significant, not for a proper pot or vessel of sorts, just for a shattered piece of the pottery. That's the only time that hole that small will be significant to render its tahor. My tama. Because no one says, meaning, if you have a broken pot with a little hole in it, then you say, okay, bring a shard of pottery over to fill in this hole so that it doesn't drip out. But no one brings a shard for a shard, right? If you have a hole in the shard, you just get rid of the shard, right? Amar Ula. So two Amoraim had a machloket about this in Israel. Right, so one believes that the size that renders a Kli Cheres Tahor is the size that would let pomegranates fall through it, because then it's literally not fit for anything. And one says it's the one that has a hole the size of a small root. Right, and just a mnemonic way to remember it is someone gives a lot, someone gives a little. Amar Rav Chinan Bar Kana, Mishmeida Rabbi Eliezer Kli Cheres Shiuro Kemotzi Zeiti. So the size that renders a Kli Cheres Tahor, according to Rabbi Chanina Bar Kana, in the name of Rabbi Lezer, that a hole the size that would let olives out renders the Kli Tahor, because it's no longer fit to carry olives. Umar Kshisha de Rabba Misayimba Mishme de Rabbi Eliezer. Right, and what was said about this is that they become tahor for all purposes, just like vessels made out of stone or out of clay or out of dung, and they become completely tahor like those vessels. They don't become they don't contract tuma neither on a deoraita level nor on a derabanan level. Right, and with regard to a kli that has a cover on it, a sealed cover, only until most of the kli breaks off, only at that point would it be considered tahor. Hadron alach hamatznia, just finished the perek. Now we're going to start the 11th perek. Hazorik mereshut yachid lereshut rabim. Someone who throws something from a private domain to a public domain. We spoke about transferring from one domain to another. Now we're going to talk about throwing something, or different methods of transfer, mereshut rabim lereshut yachid, or from a public domain to a private domain, chayef, right? Asu deoraita, right? So chayef, mereshut yachid lereshut yachid, reshut rabim beemtza. But what if it's from one private domain to another private domain, but it goes over a reshut rabim, a public domain? Rabbi Kiva mechayef chamim poter, and so Rabbi Kiva says you're chayef for that. Chamim say you're poter. Keitzad. So what is the case? Shnei gezuz terot zoken negezuz reshut rabim. If you have two balconies opposite one another in a public domain, hamoshid vazorik mizola zo poter. Right, so if you throw one to the other, or you place, meaning you stretch out one from your side and put it into the other side, your potter. Hayushtei and Beduta Achat. But what if they were in the same? If they're kind of on the same side, but still in Reshut Rabim, meaning it's not. They're on the same side, contained in the same Reshut Rabim. They come basically from the same roof. Echad Amoshit Chayav. So one who sticks it from one side to the other is going to be Chayav. Vahazorek Pater. But if you throw it from one side to the other, you're going to be Pater. Shkachata Ovid Avodat Levim. Because that was the way the Levim did work in the Mishkan, right? Where all these Malachot are based on. Shte Agalot Zoachar Zo, Reshut Rabim. There were two wagons, one behind the other, in a public domain. Moshitin HaKrashim Mizola Zo Avalo Zorkin. And they would hand the Krashim, the beams, one wagon to another wagon, but they would not throw these beams, and because they would do that, that makes it usur, because those were the forbidden works, the works that were done for the upkeep of the Mishkan. However, because they didn't throw it, throwing is not an inyan de oraita. Okay, the Gemara. Michdi Zarika Tolada Hotzahi. So we can see that throwing is a Tolada, meaning it is in the subcategory of the Malacha category of Hotzah, of taking out. Hotzah Gufa Hechektiva. And how do you know the Malacha of Hotzah itself? Amar Yochanan, Damar Kravitz, Av Moshe, Vayaviru Kol B'machaneh. Because it says Moshe stood and he sounded out a voice throughout the entire camp. And what did he say, by the way? We'll get to that in a second. Moshe Echan Havayati v'machane Leviya, v'machane Leviya reshut harabim havay. Right, so Moshe was standing in the Levi's camp, and the Levi's camp was considered reshut harabim. V'kamar lehu leYisrael lo tapiku v'taitu mereshut yachid didchu reshut harabim. Right, and he basically said to everyone that you should stop coming, you should stop bringing things from reshut yachid to reshut harabim. When did he say that? That's not in the Torah. Yeah, but he told them to stop bringing things for the avodat haMishkan. Right, everyone is kind of bringing in their stuff for the avodat haMishkan. He told them to stop. What he was basically saying is you're not allowed to carry things in here anymore. How do you know that was Shabbat? Maybe that's just a normal weekday. And even though it was a normal weekday, he told them to stop just because they had enough. The Torah said it explicitly. They had enough materials. Right? They didn't need him to bring any more things. No, this is how we know that it was Shabbat. Because of the word Havara, it's a very unique word. There's a Gzera Shava from Havara to Havara. Ktiva Chavei Aviru Kol B'machane. It says about Moshe that he sounded out a voice to the entire camp. V'chtivatam Havarta Shofar Teruah. And it's written by Yom Kippur to sound out a voice of the Shofar, Malahalan B'yom Aser, Avkan B'yom Aser. So because one of those days, Havara is on Yom Kippur, which is a day that's Aser Melacha, so too. The other Havara is talking about a day that's Aser Melacha, namely Shabbat. Eshgichan Hotzah Hachnasa Minalan. Okay, now that you know that taking out is a malacha based on that, how do you know about a hachnasa? How do you know about bringing something in? Svarahi Michde Mreshut Reshutu. Right? So it's a svara that we know you can't bring things in and not just take things out, right? Because you're basically Hotzah, the significant about Hotzah is not that it was in a private domain and is now in a public domain. The significance is that it was in one domain and now is in a different domain. Mali apuke, mali ayule. So what is the nafkamina? Is there any significant difference between whether you brought it in to a private domain from a public domain or brought it out from a private domain or brought it in from a public to a private or brought it out from a private to a public? Essentially, you're doing the same thing. Miu hotza av achnasa tolada, right? And that would seem to imply that the av, which we learn is we learn from the psukim, is the av. It's the general category, and hachnasa, bringing something in, is a subcategory within the av. Because basically, one of the ways that we determine the toladot is it's a different action. There are differences of action, but fundamentally, you accomplish the same goal, right? Umichdi aha michayev aha michayev amai karele av amai karele la hai tolada. But just a general question about av and tolada, and specifically as it pertains to our case with achnasa and hotza, you're chayev for both of them, are you not? You're chayev hotza, you're chayev on achnasa. Seems to be just about the same thing. Why are you calling one an av and one's tolada? What's the significance of that of that classification? Now here's the nafkamina. If you do two avot, then you're chayev twice. You have two korbanot. You do two toladot, you're chayev twice. Two korbanot. V'avid avet toladot didei lo mechayev elachada. However, if you do an av malacha and it's tolada, a tolada of that category of av, you only have to bring one. Right? As if you only did one thing, because the tolada is included within the av. And therefore, you would only have to bring one chatat, and that's why it's important to know whether this is called a tolada or whether this is called its own av. That's the difference. Rabbi Yezer de Mechayev a tolada makom av a maikarula av a maikarula tolada. Okay, but according to Rabbi Lazar says that you're chayev on a tolada makom av. Wherever you be chayev for an av, you're chayev on a tolada. So that nafkamina doesn't really exist for him. So what does he do with this? What's the significance of calling one an av and one a tolada? Hachta av mishkan chashiv karile av hachta love. B'mishkan chashiva lo kari la av. Right? It's basically it's a what's the word? It's somewhat of an arbitrary difference. But the things that happened in the Mishkan, we note them by calling them an av. The things that were not done in the Mishkan, rather are just similar to actions that were done in the Mishkan, we call it tolada. Inami hach dechtiva kare av hach delo ktiva kare la tolada. Alternatively, something that seems to be written or implied in the Torah is called an av. Something that is not written or implied in the Torah, we call it tolada. V'hadetnan azorek arba amar bekotel lemala masarat tvachim kezorek be'avir lemata masarat tvachim kezorek be'aretz. Right? Okay, so now we basically bring in this Mishnah that we're going to examine, right? Because we're basically looking for just different forms of transferring from one domain to another that we know that we are not allowed to do. So if someone throws an object for Amot against a Kotel, right? You don't let it kind of come to a natural rest. You throw it against a wall and it hits the wall and falls, right? So if you threw it above 10 Tfachim, right, which is a Makom Ptor, right? So then it's like you threw it in the air and it never landed, right? So you're Potter. However, if you threw it underneath 10 Tfachim, then it's like you threw it against the ground, in which case you're going to be Chayv, because it's not a Makom Ptor. Zarak Arba Amot Rishud Rabi Minalan Dimichayv. But how do we know that someone, meaning, from a more fundamental question, how do you know at all that someone who throws something for Amot in Rishut HaRabim is going to be Chayev? Right? Up until now, what have we seen? We have seen Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid. We have seen Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim. We have seen Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaYachid derech Rishut HaRabim. But you know what we have not seen? We have not seen that if someone throws something for Amot within Rishut HaRabim, that's not from one domain to another. That is within the very same domain. Right? How do we know that's Chayev? Amar Rabbi Yeshaya. So we're going to see that we have a little bit of trouble finding exactly what the source for this is. And Rabbi Shai suggests the following, that in preparing the Mishkan, when they would weave the curtains, they would throw their needles to one another so that they could all use the needles. Basically, if you're stitching up the same curtain, you would toss the needle back and forth to work on different sides of the curtain. Organ machtin lamalehu. Why do weavers need needles? You don't weave with needles. You weave with these looms. Right, but the ones who sew the curtains, not who weave the curtains, but they sew things onto the curtains, they throw their needles to each other. How do you know that, I mean, that's not explicitly written in the Torah that they do that. We assume, based on our assessment of how the Mishkan was prepared, and that would happen. But how do you know they weren't sitting next to each other? Matu adade b'machtin, right? They couldn't be sitting next to each other because the way that they would weave it, and you know, in the way that they would sew these things in and out, they would get in each other's way if they were sitting next to each other. They needed room to fully pull the threads through and the needle out the other side, so they couldn't be too close to each other. Okay, fine. They weren't sitting next to each other. They couldn't have been in the same dalad amot, right? You can't find two people able to stitch the same curtain in the same dalad amot. Of course, they could be in the same dalad amot, right? So if they're not passing it dalad amot. Ella amar Rav Chisda shekein orge yiriot zorkin buchiar biyiria. Rather, this is what happened. Basically, when you're weaving these curtains, you have all the thread coming from a spool. Now, what you generally do is you pass the spool back and forth as you go from one side of the curtain to the other side. You have different people working on different sides of the curtains, and you pass the spool to one side and they unravel some of the thread. Then you pass the spool to the other side and they unravel some of the thread. You go back and forth and back and forth. And when they would pass the spool to one another, then that's what they would pass for Amot Relay, away from each other. But one second, you still, when you pass the spool back and forth, you're still holding on to part of it. Part of it you never let go. They don't let go, you don't let go, you're unraveling the string for yourself. Right? And if you don't let go, then it's not a proper transfer. It's not exactly like throwing it, you're still holding on to it in your domain. Beniska Batra. No, because we follow what is thrown, right? We don't follow what you're holding on to. We follow what is thrown in order to determine whether something is transferring domain. So even though in Achanami it's connected to something that stays in your domain, we don't really care about that. Wait a second, when you're putting it over these panels that you're stitching together for the curtain, aren't you passing it through an exempt area? You're not passing it through a proper Rishut HaRabim. You're sitting in Rishut HaRabim, but you're carrying it over a Makom Ptor, in which case, you're really not doing anything wrong. Ela Shaken Orge Yiriot Zorkin Buchyar L'Shoalein. Okay, so now we have to modify the answer, and no, it's like this. We're not talking about the people weaving the curtains, tossing the spool back and forth between each other for the same curtain, but they're all sitting and making these curtains together, and they didn't have spools for everyone. You would use, you pass to your friend. Everyone kind of borrowed each other's spools, and that's what would happen. But maybe they were sitting close together. How do you know they were davka borrowing it from someone who is far away? No, they couldn't sit that close to one another, because the because when you need to pull it tight, right? And so because you need to pull it tight, you have to pull all the strand out in one direction. So you need your area kind of clear. You need to have your own Dalet Amot in order to really fully stretch out the string. Two people couldn't do that in the same place. V'dilma shel chufei havu mishal chafei, right? But maybe they were sitting close enough to one another, but you basically had one on the leftmost side of this Dalet Amot and one on the rightmost side of the back of the same Dalet Amot, but within the Dalet Amot of the other guy, just in back and to the left. And then the guy who was almost Dalet Amot behind the guy all the way to the right, so he was on the left side, you know, staggered back and forth, you know, kind of how we're doing now for Corona davening, just to make sure everyone keeps a safe distance. But each one could have been within each other's four Amot, and they still have plenty of room to stretch out the string. So what do you say to that? They're still in each other's Dalet Amot. Furthermore, did they really borrow from one another? Vatanya, Luda. Didn't Luda teach in a Braita? I wonder if Luda is the. I wonder if this is the only place in Shas that Luda is mentioned. Each Masechta has one Amora who is only ever mentioned one time in all of Shas. Ish mimelachto asher hema osib. Right? Luda taught the following, that each person working on what they were working on. Mimelachto hu osev eino osev melacha chaveru. So they were kind of fully involved, engaged in their own melacha, and they didn't really get involved in the other person's melacha. So they didn't seem to not to borrow things from one another. That's what we understand from that Braita, in which case it's unlikely that they were borrowing at all. Vitu Mavir Arba Amot Mishud Rabbi Minel Mechayev. Right, but furthermore, how do you even know that that someone who carries an object four Amot in the Rishut Rabbim is even Chayev? Right, so. Meaning, even if you wanted to learn out from what we just said, that that throwing something for Amot in the Rishut HaRabim would be Usur, it doesn't answer that carrying something for Amot in the Rishut HaRabim is going to be Usur. So, three problems with this. A, it only serves as a proof for half of what we're trying to find. We found a place for throwing, but what about for carrying? We still don't have that. And second, it's unlikely they actually borrowed from one another based on what we learned in a Braita. And finally, even the proof that you bring is kind of weak, because in theory they could be pulling the strings out completely and having them be very tight while still sitting within Dalet Amot of each other if they just sit in a staggered fashion, right? Ella kol arba amot b'shut rabim gemara gemirila. So we must conclude, after we tried our very best to find a place from the Torah that seems to indicate that this is or a theoretical place that that this malacha would have been done in the preparation of the Mishkan, we couldn't find it, and we are and now we fall back on the fact that this is an old tradition, and it was Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that this is a malacha, and that you're not allowed to carry it for Amot and the Shutter Rabbim, but we can't exactly logically figure out where exactly it was used in the preparation of the Mishkan. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mikoshesh Ma'avir Arba Amot Bereshut HaRabim Hava. Right, so maybe another potential way of suggesting that carrying Arba Amot Shutter Rabbim is going to be a problem from the Torah is you have this case of the Mikoshesh Eitzim, right? Someone who gathers wood on Shabbat, and he was put to death. However, it's not so clear what the malacha is, right? Because Mikoshesh Eitzim, Mikoshesh is not the name of one of the Av Malachot, right? So what exactly are we saying that he did wrong? Right? So it's actually a machloket. B'matnita Tana Tolesh Hava. So in the Braita taught that the problem, what he did wrong was he disconnected the wood from their roots. Right, he was pulling up the wood. That's what is implied at Mikoshesh, and so that's the malacha that he was doing. Rav Acha bar Rabbi Yaakov Amar Hava. Rav Acha bar Yaakov believes that the problem was not that he was chopping down wood. The problem was that he was collecting wood. What's the problem with collecting wood that had already been separated from the tree? Well, the problem is that he'd be transferring something Dalet Amot in the Rishut HaRabim, right? So it seems from there, potentially, based on this Braita and understanding what the Mikoshesh Eitzim did wrong, that we do actually have a source, or at least an allusion, to transferring something Dalet Amot in the Rishut HaRabim being Usur, seeing as how he was put to death for this. Lamai Nafkamina, who cares? Meaning, what's the practical difference of what he did wrong there, right? We know both of these things. We know the what's the nafkamina of what this guy was doing wrong. L'chederav, the Amar Rav, matati Megillat Sitarim be Rabbi Chia. Because it's helpful for Rav's teaching, because Rav says that he found a hidden scroll in the academy of Rabbi Chia. V'chatuv be Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Avon Melachot Arbim, Chaser Echad, Ve'enu Chayev Ela Achat. Right? So because the Isi Bar Yehuda taught the following, that there are 39 Melachot on Shabbat, and for the performance of all of them, you're only Chayev once. You're only ever chayev on one, right? Ve'eino chayev ela achat, right? So we're going to translate that for now as you're only chayev on one, you're only ever chayev on, for one. Echat ve'tulo, wait a second. Are you not, you're not chayev for more than one korban chatar for doing all the malachot? Vatan avat malachot arbeim chaser achat, v'haveinan ba minyan alamale, v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, she'im asan kulam behelem achat, chayev akol achat ve'achat. Right, this Mishnah that we now taught six or seven times in the Masechta, that when you say the 39 malachot, why is it they need to bring the number in order to teach me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if you did them all, behelem echat, right, that you're chayev for each and every single thing you did wrong. But here we have Isi Bar Yehuda suggesting that you're only chayav once, right? So that's difficult. Rather, maybe we're misunderstanding Isi Bar Yehuda. Ema eno chayav ela achat mehem, meaning that not you eno chayav ela, meaning not that you're only chayav once, but eno chayav al achat mehem. You are not obligated on one of them. There is one of the malachot that you're not chayav skila for. There are 39 malachot. 38 of them you're chayav skila for, stoning. One of them, eno chayav al achat mehem. One of them you are not chayav for. That is what Isi Bar Yehuda says. Now, given that that's the teaching of Rav, now we have a nafkamina, but by the Mekoshesh Eitzim, at least a potential one. Rav Yehuda pshita Right? Sorry, I may have mistranslated that before. That basically there are three opinions, whether gathering the wood was gathering the wood was a problem, carrying the wood was a problem, or cutting down the wood was a problem. I think I skipped one of those shitas before when we were talking about it, right? Meaning gathering, bringing something together into a pile is a problem in and of itself, or transferring dalat on Mishnah Rabbim is a problem, or cutting down the trees was a problem. Now we have a nafkamina between these three shitas. Why? Because according to our Mishnah, it's obvious that that detaching the trees is going to be a problem. And according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, it is obvious that gathering is chayav. And according to Rav Yehuda, it is obvious that carrying something dalat amud the Rishut Rabim is chayav. Mar savar ha mihat lo mispaka. Umar savar ha mihat lo mispaka. So when we have a suffix as to which of those malachot was Isi Bar Yehuda referring to, right? Because he said that one of the malachot you're not chayav for. One of the malachot you don't get skila for. I know that. Which means that there are basically 38 malachot you get skila for. One malachot you don't get skila for. But ultimately you're left with a suffix, right? Because every malacha can now be begider suffix as to, oh, is this a skila malacha, or is this the one that isn't a skila malacha? So, based on your shita in this braita based on this shita of what the Mekoshesh Eitzim actually did wrong, you know if what he did wrong was gathering, then you know that gathering is not a potential suffix malacha as to whether you get skila. Rather, gathering, you definitely get skila. And if you believe that it's transferring, then you know that transferring definitely gets skila. And if you know that it's cutting down the trees, then you know that cutting down the trees definitely gets skila. Definitely gets skila, and that is the nafkamina. Because one of them is not going to be skila, and therefore, if you believe that's what the Mekoshesh Eitzim did, then you believe that that one is definitely not the skila one. We'll stop here.